which is spelled FASCINARY.
I mistyped that twice trying to email you two in anticipation of this, and I was just like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I do this?
We probably should have picked something easier to spell, but FASCINARY.
In my case, I think it was just stupid fingers.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't think it was the game.
It's like fascinate.
Yeah.
Fascinate, true, yeah.
Thank you so much for being here, Gina and Krista. We really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org. And you can find us on Instagram at winnersbias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. We want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you find those unexpected things in the games. Have a good one.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Listen to Black Book Talk at KBOO FM every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon. Co-hosts O.B. Hill, Patricia Welch, and Emma Jackson Ford discuss African-American authors and books. That's Black Book Talk, every first Thursday from 11:30 to noon on KBOO-FM.
You're listening to KBO Radio, Voices of Vision, with Pallavi and Charles Chambry.
On Voices of Vision show, we spotlight authentic stories and voices making a difference in our community. Our aim is to inspire, inform, and connect. Voices of Vision is a storytelling platform that amplifies the authentic voices shaping our communities here in Oregon. Each episode spotlights entrepreneurs, creatives, change makers, and thought leaders whose work inspires, informs, and drives meaningful impact. Through candid conversations and real stories, we'll explore the theme of purpose, resilience, and innovation, equity, and cultural identity. Whether you're a visionary in making or someone looking to stay connected to the community, Voices of Vision is where passion meets purpose on air. I'm your host, Pallavi Pandey, owner and founder of a small business called Detox, which is a play on the word cleansing journey of the nasty single-use disposables, because I turn leaves from the ground into your tableware for your events.
And I'm an international speaker, radio, TV host, adjunct professor, and also a philomath. Philomath.
Now a new word in our dictionary. Okay, please tell us, what is that?
Philomath is someone who loves to learn.
Ooh.
Philo in the Greek is love, philo. And then math means to learn. So I love learning.
Wow, philomath.
Yeah.
I did not know that word. Did you know that?
No.
So moving forward, the whole interview, call me philomath.
Philomath it is.
Okay. Philomath.
Philomath. How do you spell it? Can you spell it?
P-H-I-L and then math, M-A-T-H.
Okay.
Like philomath.
Okay. Yes.
Corvallis, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. There you go.
Ooh, okay.
How's it going? How was your week?
It was busy, good, chaotic.
It was your daughter's birthday.
My teenager's 13th birthday. I just came back from 2 weeks off a family trip from East Coast. My father-in-law just had a stroke at the age of 85. He's still back in Virginia. I'm here with everybody, so it has been chaotic.
Okay. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. I had to be here for our audience, our listeners, our fans, our guests, and my co-host.
For sure.
All right. So today on our radio show, our guest speaker is Justin Freeman. And Justin Freeman is the managing director of the Kinder Foundation, an Oregon-based organization with a nationwide impact in helping people experience, receive, and express mindful kindness in their schools, workplaces, and communities. In addition to his work at Kinder, Justin is a consultant, business owner, and devoted board member serving in volunteer leadership with a number of Oregon-based nonprofits.
Awesome. Nice to have you here.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here with both of you, especially on such a warm day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to be inside.
But it's cool in here, though, right?
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Because of you all.
Oh, I like
people.
That. I want to give you a high five. Can I give you a high five already? Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel the energy there. Cool. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where are you from and sure. How'd you get here?
So I actually grew up in South Texas, spent 25 years down there, and then moved around for school. Mm-hmm. Met my wonderful wife, Jennifer, in Boulder, Colorado, mm-hmm. which we loved. That was home. And then about 12 years ago, we came to Eugene for her job. She's an OBGYN. And so she decided to come and deliver the babies of Oregon with her best friend from medical residency. And they've practiced side by side for the last 12 years.
Wow.
Nice, so nice.
Eugene is home.
Well, I thought I heard you speaking a different language. Do you speak more than one language? I was, like, spying on you.
How did you pick that up now?
That's really funny.
I don't hear any accent now, but, I mean, I thought I heard you talking.
You did. I was just outside the studio and just showing a little quick WhatsApp video to a friend of mine in Brazil.
Oh.
So my midlife crisis, as it were, a couple years ago, I told my wife, I said, I don't really do anything wild traditionally, and I don't like sports cars or anything. I'm going to learn Portuguese as my midlife crisis.
Wow.
Então fiz e agora falo português.
That was great.
I speak a little bit of Portuguese.
That's great.
I'm even surprised you picked that up because I didn't. So what? How do you
think? I was spying on him when he was waiting in the waiting room.
Gee, not fair. I got here late, listeners.
Not that late. We started on time.
All right, cool. So tell me more about your business and what the focus is.
Yeah, so Kinder is a foundation. So we are a not-for-profit, and we're a team of friends and wonderful people all over the country and a couple of folks internationally who, like Pavi said, we work on helping people give, receive, and ultimately experience greater levels of mindful kindness. And we do that through a number of different types of programs, which I think we'll get into in a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Great work.
How'd you hear about the radio station? How'd you hear about the show? And did you know Pallavi before this?
We connected through, we're actually both members of an online community of kind of mutual support for, I would say, some of the smallest food businesses in Oregon. My wife and I, when I said I'm a business owner, my wife and I are owners of a small bakery in Eugene.
Whoa.
So we have connected with this group for years now. Mm-hmm. And it's been, I don't know if you would agree, I think it's been a wonderful way to tie people together.
Yes.
Shout out to the wonderful Hannah Kohlberg for pulling us all together across the region.
Yes, and the group is called Pacific Northwest Food and Beverage Group, where all the CPG founders and business owners, like who make consumable products, whatever you're eating, using, they are all in that group. And it has gone beyond Oregon. It covers the whole Pacific Northwest. Like, I've seen founders there from California and Washington, so it's gone beyond Oregon. Now it's the whole Pacific Northwest.
Cool.
It's nice to have found community through email and text and all the number of ways that we communicate.
So that is where we connected, because I put it out saying, remember our very first speaker on Earth Day, Hannah?
Yeah.
She also was on the same group. That's where Justin also replied, but he wasn't available that week. So I was like, let's line you up for the rest of the month. And he was available to do this with us today.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you're our first male on the show, which is something that's a record for us.
Okay. Well, I will. I'll try to represent well.
Yes.
That was my line. I was about to mention that.
Hey, I wanted to know, so do you bake, or just your staff bakes, or your wife bakes, or what's?
I know how to bake.
Okay.
But my staff are much better bakers than me.
Gotcha. Oh.
So they, we have a great team who do the baking day to day, which is nice.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that Pallavi is a great cook? Well, obviously through the program, maybe, but I mean, have you eaten any of her food?
Not yet. I'm going to put the emphasis on the word yet, because I'm hoping for an invite.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. I'm going to cook while you're going to bake, and Charles is going to be the judge. There we go, right? Is that what you wanted?
Perfect. That's what he's angling for, is an invite to multiple meals. That's a good move.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, so before we had this interview, behind the scenes, we were talking about going over to your house for some good eatery, some good food. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for all those questions for our guests. We got the teaser of who he is, what are you doing, and I want to derail a little bit here. I know you said you love to bake. Quickly, give me your favorite baked dish. Which one is it that you love?
Oh, gosh. That I make?
Yeah.
So it's the easiest thing in the world to make, but I love focaccia.
Focaccia.
So it's just...
What is that?
Yeah, tell our audience what it is. So,
talk about words.
And give me the recipe in like quick 1 minute if you can.
Okay.
Or our listeners.
Sure. So focaccia is of Italian origin.
Hmm.
And even as much as I try and make a great focaccia, I can't beat what they do in Italy.
Hmm.
Nor would I ever claim to. But it's a really simple recipe that's essentially... flour, salt, yeast, water. But what makes it interesting, so you will roll out your dough and let it rise and roll it out onto a sheet pan.
Mm-hmm.
And where it gets fun is you poke your fingers in the top of it.
Fun.
And a bunch, and you don't try to poke your finger all the way through, you're just making indentions.
Mm.
And then covering it with olive oil and really coarse salt. And there's all sorts of different flavors you can top with rosemary or olives or roasted tomatoes, any number of things. So it's very versatile. And then you can use it as sandwich bread.
Oh.
You can eat it by itself. You can soak it in even more olive oil. Mm. More olive oil.
I'm getting hungry now.
Me too. Me too.
And so that is for a
focaccia.
Yeah, for an aspiring baker.
Okay.
It's about as easy as it gets and as delicious in my mind as it gets.
Now I'm thinking of a focaccia competition for Thanksgiving at my home.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're talking about going to her house. We need to go to your bakery.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yes.
I think we need to, for science, we need to test multiple.
For science, recipes. For the purpose of science.
That's right, for science. Eat as much bread as we can. I think that's what we should do.
Wonderful.
Can Katie go? So, shout out to Katie. Katie's our photographer for today, and she's sponsoring the photos for today. And can Katie come?
Absolutely. Katie can come.
Okay,
awesome. And we'll find out more about your bakery in a few minutes once deep dive in our show today.
Well, before the deep dive, let me ask you one last question. One last question.
Yeah.
What's the mission statement for your business?
Oh, so for the Kinder Foundation,
mm-hmm.
We believe that mindful kindness is a superpower.
Mindful kindness.
Yeah. And it has super powerful effects, which we'll share a little bit about.
Mm. You're listening to KBO Radio. This is Voice of Vision with your hosts, Pallavi and Charles Chambry.
On Voices of Vision show, we spotlight authentic stories and voices making a difference in the community. Here at KBOO, find all the information about this episode at kboo.fm.
Now it's time to get into our fireside chats, where Pallavi will go a little bit deeper with the questions. You're on.
Thank you so much, Charles. I was waiting for this moment. All right, so now, are you ready?
I think I am.
Okay, let's do this. So let's start with my first question, which is, let's start at the very beginning.
Sure.
And let me ask you, what inspired you to create Kinder Foundation, which I pretty much said Kinder at the beginning, so I'm sure you get this very often. So tell us where that inspiration comes from with this name, and how did you said this word already, which is mindful kindness. So I'm very intrigued with that, and that is something I would love to know more about. So how did that become your North Star?
Sure, that's a great question, and I can take no credit for founding our foundation because I am not the founder.
Mm-hmm.
Our founder is the amazing Dr. Doug Carnine, who lives in Eugene. He has spent his career working in educational research, policy, and practice. And he's really an expert in understanding how people learn, especially how youth learn.
Hmm.
And several years back, and I'm struggling to remember the exact year, he struck up a kind of a pen pal letter exchange relationship with some people who were incarcerated in some pretty challenging environments. And, you know, just out of respect for them, they were in various environments around the country.
Right.
And one of the things that Dr. Carnine found as he was sharing with them and expressing kindness was that these individuals started to change a little bit. That maybe for the first time in their lives, or definitely for the first time in a long time, they were experiencing kindness from another human being in a way where Doug wasn't asking anything from them. He was just being present, he was being engaged, he was being a friend, and these individuals started to change. And what Doug realized was that there's an opportunity, not just working with people in the correctional facility, but thinking about his educational career, working with children, and thinking about the needs of adults in the community, working with people in the workplaces. Thus, the Kinder Foundation came to be. And to your question about mindful kindness, mindfulness is really important when we talk about kindness, because it's something where we need to be intentional. And so I imagine we'll talk a little bit more about this, but kindness is highly contextual, it's highly cultural, and it's highly personal. And so when we're able to understand another person for who they are, maybe what they're bringing to the situation from what they value culturally, what they value individually, what they value as a family, we can make sure to meet them in a way where it genuinely feels like kindness for them, not just what we assume kindness might be.
I love that. He sounds great, doesn't he?
And here's one thing. You and me both practice mindfulness. As far as I've known you for the last 1 year, we both are very mindful, and we do want to put our intentions and purpose and align all of that. So both of us are struck right now with this topic here, right?
I love that you say that, because one of the things, too, one of the other elements where I think mindfulness really comes into play in regards to kindness is that there are moments, and you may reflect on your own life, for instance, there are moments when our intention is to be kind, but if our attention wavers, you know, if our intention and our attention are not aligned, say that we get cut off in traffic, say that we have something out of the blue that distracts us, we can become very unintentionally unkind in that moment. So the mindfulness, being aware, being present, being reflective in the moment, helps us make sure that we're maintaining that kind orientation as often as possible, and knowing that we all still make mistakes.
Right.
So you're saying we have to be present in order to be kind, or feel or give and get that kindness more? Is that a factor?
It certainly helps. What can happen is if you check out, you know, if you are not aware of the situation, and again, the context of what the other person across from you is bringing, or what they need in the moment, or maybe their expectation, then something that you might intend to be kind might instead feel just simply performative, or it might miss the mark. And so we can get some of our greatest expressions of kindness when we're really present with others.
Great. I love that. And I'm going to be pointing out a very, very vulnerable situation here, like especially coming to youth, because you were talking about kindness and youth and how to teach them. So as a mom, I have noticed when my kids, teenager, would check out, because you mentioned that word, when they check out, they're not kind. They're not kind anymore. They feel very, very mean, and that is the, I don't know, you have a teenager too, so how do you feel when, first, the question is, does your kid check out sometime? Because mine does. They're reaching that stage, and I've seen them. And when they do, they're not kind in that moment. So I can now totally see when you said that. You have to be present in order to give and experience and get all that. It is a factor.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. One of the stories of I guess, success or impact that we've seen. I was coaching a group a few years back on kind and effective communication. What are the patterns and what are the tools we can use to communicate more kindly with one another? And it was a multi-week program, and I had a mom come back in the third week, and I just, as we do, we start every session, I'd say, well, so what have people experienced this week? What has kindness looked like in your life? And she started crying, and she said, I learned this week, I never knew before this week, that my teenage son was brilliant. And I said, okay. I said, thank you for, what does that mean? I'm intrigued. And she said, he's interested in a very particular technological subject. And she said, I didn't realize until last week when we talked about how to listen mindfully, I didn't realize that when he talked about this, I was zoning out. She said, and so for the last couple of years, as he's explored this interest, when those words come out of his mouth, I turn listen. Off my brain and check out.
Yes.
And this week I learned how to lean in. And she said, it's like I woke up and realized how brilliant he is. And what was interesting was she said, that was the only thing I changed this week, was being mindful and kind as I listened to him. And he has started to just naturally behave around the house. He's doing the chores. He's leaning into all of the expectations we typically have as parents. And she said, and it's sad, bittersweet, but also really wonderful to know that clearly he recognized that I was not listening in the past, but now he sees that I am, and our relationship is better.
And I love the perspective that it's just not kids checking out. It's also vice versa, which is parents or adults checking out with one another, with your kids. So we have to be present. It's just not the one way. It is a two-way street. Love that. Wow. This is deep.
Well,
okay.
I had a question. Can I jump in there? You know, I teach EI, teach emotional intelligence, been teaching it for a couple of years. And a lot of what you're saying reminds me of, like, empathizing and empathy. So how would you add that to the equation? Is it similar or the same thing? What's your take on that?
Yeah, empathy is a powerful tool that I think often sits in between mindfulness and kindness.
Okay.
In that when we are mindful, we're able to be in the headspace where empathy is much more likely to happen.
Okay.
You know, especially when we have potentially areas where we might be unaware otherwise, areas where we might otherwise be biased, otherwise be shut off from people. When we're mindful, say, you know what? Those patterns are not going to rule me today.
Okay.
I'm going to instead pursue a different path that leaves us open to empathize. And that takes us back then to kindness being contextual, because if I'm able to empathize with you, I'm able to learn your context, who you are, what you value, what matters, what you're going through. I can't be you. I can't understand you completely, but it brings me closer so that then when I take that empathy and I express the things I've learned from that mindfully through kindness, my kindness is more likely to hit home. And sometimes we still miss the mark. But that empathy is a powerful middle step that is expressed more powerfully when we're mindful, and it then supercharges our kindness.
Got it. Interesting. I love that. On that note, keeping the same cadence, I know you talked about a lot about kindness. I want to know, why do you believe kindness is such a powerful intervention across such different environments? And you've already done this through school kids, incarcerated adults.
Yeah, it's, you know, our programs, just for a moment of context, you know, we've worked with over 800,000 students nationwide.
Wow.
We have,
that's massive.
We have programs that we've incubated and launched out that are in every state correctional facility in California.
Wow.
And then we've also worked with a lot of people in the workplace as well. And I think we have impact in those areas because while we all are unique, and I've hit on this a little bit, we all still genuinely have a need for human connection that's based in authenticity, a need for human connection that is characterized often by kindness. You know, I tell people, and I spend a lot of time, particularly my focus with the foundation is with people in workplaces. I joke that I often work with wonderful people who hate each other.
Wonderful people who hate each other.
Yeah. So imagine that's cool. A workplace where people are in crisis and they say, look, we're not sure what happened. Or maybe we think we know what happened. None of us want to leave, but we don't like working together anymore. How do we get right?
Wow.
And so leaning into that, I've found that there have been three questions people ask themselves at work every day. They don't know they're asking, but they are.
Which is?
The first question is, do I fit in here? Like, do I belong? And it speaks to that core human need of belonging. And that can be around vision, mission. It can be around their ability to express who they are, their skill set, their ability to be their true selves and not have to put on a mask. It's complex. The second question is, does anybody here actually care about me? I might fit in. This might be a mission-aligned organization. This might be my passion. But if I feel like I'm uncared for, that doesn't work either. And, you know, it's interesting. Harvard and Gallup talk a lot about those first two questions in different forms. But what often gets missed and what I've found to be critically important is the third question, which is, does this place take more than it gives? At the end of the day, even if I fit in, even if people care about me, if I go home every day at the end of the day feeling completely drained, where I say, I have nothing left to give to my health, to my partner, to my environment, to my community, to my children, if that's how it feels at the end of every day, then we start to run into a place where we don't have cultural sustainability. And so I think for kindness, what mindful kindness lets us do is start to move the needle meaningfully with all three of those questions to get it to where people go, you know what? I do fit in. People do care about me. And yeah, I have hard days. And sometimes it does take more than it gives. But in general, I go home still able to execute as a whole and complete person. And so that's the power, really, of kindness in the workplace.
I enjoy working with her. So we passed the three questions.
You're
wonderful.
From my end,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let's check it out.
Great.
What about George? He'll tell us later. George.
George is smiling. He's laughing.
Katie's new. She doesn't know yet.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Wow. All right, listeners. So ask yourself those three questions. Is it fulfilling your cup? And in these three elements, is it fulfilling your cup, whether you fit in, whether you, what was the second one?
Does anyone here care about?
Yeah, that you feel you're being cared for. And the third one, is it satisfying your daily impact?
Yeah, does it take more than it gives every day or most of the time?
Yeah, like, is it consuming you, or is it you're thriving in that environment?
That's right.
Okay, wonderful.
Sometimes I feel like it's taking more from me. Sometimes.
It can.
Here at KBOO Radio. I'm joking. I was just teasing her.
I'd be like, if we moved this radio station on a beat, would that be less consuming?
Yes,
or what would it take, like a glass of beer or what?
I'm good. You're awesome.
All right, my next question is, can you share a personal story?
If you cook for me.
There we go.
Yes. Nice.
Good solution. I like that. Can you please share a personal story or moment from the field that really brought home the impact of your programs?
Sure. We did work a couple years back in a school system in the Northeast. I'm going to be a little vague, just again, to protect the folks who were involved.
Because I'm with the school in the Northeast.
Okay.
I was joking. No.
And I mean the Northeast United States, not Northeast
Portland. Oh, okay. I got you. Okay. I'm going to get that cleared up.
And what was really interesting was, so we had a very straightforward program that teachers and administrators could apply to work with students. And around how to, basically what kind of behavior looks like in the school system. And it's funny because you think, well, that should be automatic, that should be known. But oftentimes it's not. It hasn't been taught. It hasn't been modeled. It hasn't been routinely expressed. And so it's not a surprise then when students may act differently if they haven't had that taught, modeled, and expressed to them. So our foundation went through and worked alongside these teachers in this district to teach this very simple program. And what was interesting, what we were surprised to find and very pleased to find, was that reports of bullying decreased. We don't think of ourselves necessarily as an overtly anti-bullying program. You know, we're not leaning into speaking into that area in an explicit way and trying to coach people out of bullying. Instead, what we provided was a way to be mindfully kind and intentional about it. And students and teachers alike.
This is Voices of Vision with Pallavi and Charles Chambry. If you would like to hear the full interview, look up Voices of Vision Justin Freeman on Facebook and Instagram. Again, that is Justin Freeman, Voices of Vision, Justin Freeman, Voices of Vision. To stay in contact with Justin Freeman and his organization, Kinder Foundation, visit bkinder.org. Thank you for listening and have an awesome, awesome day.
Está escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. No me hicieron muchas preguntas. La periodista